You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. It contains no artificial preservative, so in the hot weather it's gone off almost before it comes on. Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Vanella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps and Warren Mitchell take a light-hearted look at the advertising world. Of course, every advertising firm has its ups and downs, but at Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners, they're so far down at the moment that Michael Lightfoot's office on the fifth floor has almost reached street level.
Simply won't do, Michael. You'll have to pull your socks up.
Oh, you're always telling me that. If my socks go any higher, I'll be blindfolded. Oh, I wish we'd never taken on this product.
It's not all that difficult.
Maggie, it's not only difficult, it's ridiculous, I ask you. The whole brains of this powerful organization devoted to advertising Allsop's Instant Welsh Rabbit.
Well, I admit it's hardly the thing to get us the Nobel Prize, but it's our job. There must be a place on the market for Allsop's Instant Welsh Rabbit.
There's a place for it, all right, but I doubt if it's on the market.
Michael, would you sign these letters?
Oh, very well. I say, Janet, you've typed this letter backwards.
I know, isn't it maddening? See, I put the carbon paper in the wrong way round.
Actually, I think this letter looks better backwards. So instead of signing Michael Lightfoot, I've written Toothgill Lairkin.
Crazy. It sounds like an Irish poet. I chanced to see, and he said his name was Mother McPhee. I says,
sound like Brendan Braying.
Oh, where is Adrian? After all, he's the head of the copy department.
Well, chaps, I've found the answer to Allsop's Instant Welsh Rabbits.
What is it? Allsop's Instant Welsh Ferrets?
Oh, my script for the commercial. Surely you've read it?
No, where is it?
But I finished it ages ago. I asked the typing pool to bash out some copies and send them up.
Oh, I expect it'll be here in a minute.
I'd better ring Mavis. Typing pool, please. We must line up this commercial today. Hello?
Typing pool here. Mavis Willis speaking.
Oh. Hello, Mavis. Maggie Tufnell here.
Oh, hello, Miss Tufnell. This is Mavis. Who did you want to speak to?
To you.
To who?
To Mavis.
Oh, well, hang on a moment, will you? I'll see if she's here.
Mavis! Oh, really? She's put the phone down. What is wrong with that girl?
Haven't you heard? She's in love.
What?
I didn't say anything.
Mavis, where have you been?
Oh, I'm ever so sorry, but I was expecting a call from my boyfriend, you see. And just as I realised you weren't him, the other phone rang and that wasn't him either. It is Wednesday, isn't it?
No, Tuesday.
Oh, good, then it's tomorrow. Thanks for ringing to tell me. Bye.
Mavis! Mavis, have you finished typing those scripts?
Oh, if you mean the ones about the new blue Welsh rabbit with the soft, crunchy hole in the middle, yes.
Then bring them up to Mr. Lightfoot's office right away.
Do you want them now or later?
Immediately, please. Hurry. That girl's getting dizzier than ever.
I thought something was wrong when I took the script into the typing pool. Mavis was pouring out the coffee before the cups had arrived. Well, I mean, even Mavis doesn't do that very often.
Ah, well, that's because she's in love.
Mavis in love? Who on earth with?
My friend, Hector Whittle.
That lunatic beatnik with a beard. No girl in her right mind could be in love with him.
Well, that makes Mavis a suitable candidate.
Well, when did this ghastly calamity overtake her?
Last week. I took her to a party at Kinky Musgrove's, and the minute they met, wham! Hector looked at Mavis, Mavis looked at Hector. It was love at first sight.
Must have been a very dark room.
Well, I think it's dreadful. Nice, simple girl like Mavis getting involved with that scruffy mock intellectual. Does he still wear galoshes and an opera hat?
Only when it's raining. And you mustn't make fun of Hector. He's committed.
Committed what?
Oh, you don't understand. He's a poet, a thinker. He's got a very inventive mind.
He must have if he thinks he's a poet.
And last week he had a deep emotional experience.
What was that, a bath?
No. He decided to join the human race.
I protest.
Oh, I'm sorry to be so long.
Mavis, we know you're in an emotional whirl. Just sit down and hand over the scripts.
Here we are, all typed and duped, one copy each.
Mavis, you're typing. It's all sops Welsh rarebit, not all slop.
Sorry. Here's your copy, Lightfoot.
Oh, thanks. Let's have a look-see.
Now, before you start reading, I'd better put you in the picture. The whole concept is staggeringly original. It all starts with a man and a woman.
What doesn't I'd like to know?
So the scene is a highly sophisticated and elegant Mayfair salon. Actually, to get the full effect, we really need background music.
Well, look, why don't we read it in the studio? We can put on a disc and get the feel of the thing.
Good idea. Yeah,
very good idea.
All right,
yes,
well, come along, Mavis. We may want you to take a few notes.
Now, are you sure it's Tuesday? I mean, when you said you weren't having me on.
I'm prepared to swear an affidavit. Well, why the sudden interest? You never knew what day it was before, but you never cared.
Well, you see, it's Tuesday. I'm having lunch with Hector. We are having Cloudsville for two at the Swinging Cauldron.
If your earrings fall off, don't dive in after them.
Now, Michael, you read the man's part, and Janet, you read the woman. And please remember, it's supposed to be a diplomatic function, and the hostess, in full evening dress and tiara, is saying goodnight to a distinguished statesman.
Okay, Maggie, let's have the background music.
Right.
Ah, Lady Zelda, what a magnificent dinner. How do you do it?
Well, Lord Sloane, I ate all sops instant Welsh rabbit. I never let myself be caught without one.
Ah, Lady Zelda, in all my years as a peer, I've never tasted anything like it. Your husband, Archie, is a fortunate man.
Well, Lord Sloane, wherever he goes, he always carries an Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit in his diplomatic bag. They're so easy to eat.
Just chew for half an hour and then swallow. But, Lady Zelda, you must tell me, how did you find out about them?
Well, Lord Sloane, it was a day in spring. Archie and I parked the rolls and picked primroses. Then we sat on the grass and he gave me Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit. Since then, I could feel a different woman.
I'm not surprised.
Ah, Lady Zelda, I must try it on the Duchess. She could do with a change of diet.
Well, Lord Sloane, there's a new feeling afoot in Mayfair. It's Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit. They come in three distinct flavours: cheddar, camembert, or gorgonzola.
They're in your grocer's now. Why don't you go and buy one? Right away.
Well, I can't buy one. I'm taking notes.
Mavis.
Oh, I'm sorry I got carried away.
Oh, it's lovely. How did it end?
Well, Chef, what do you think?
I like it, Edge, and it's fine, but there's just one or two minor alterations.
Well, of course, there's some decent actors to read the lines.
Oh, well, really, is that all the thanks I get? I was really doing my little nut.
Oh, Michael, you were lovely. You did for Welsh Rabbit what Agatha Christie did for the Mousetrap.
Can I go? It's Tuesday.
Yes, as soon as you retype... As soon as you've retyped the script, then I want you to take it round to the client.
But I'm supposed to be having lunch with Hector, not typing a commercial about people dressed in tiaras saying goodnight to extinguished statesmen.
No, Mavis, extinguished means put out.
Well, I am very. Hello, Hector.
Hi, my Mavis doll.
Oh, I'm ever so sorry I wasn't outside to meet you. We're having an emergency and I'm up to the ears in it.
Yeah, man, well, like I met Janet outside and she told me. So what digs were the emergency, man?
Soppy, if you ask me. All about a lot of la-di-da people functioning in taras. And then this extinguished dipsomaniac comes in wearing decorations.
Why, is it Christmas?
Oh, must
be, I suppose. They've just had a 12-course supper of all sops instant Welsh rarebit in this Mayfair dining room.
Sounds real square, man.
Well, it doesn't say what shape the room is. Then he says to her, he says, "Why, Lady Zelda, what a delicious meal. It was your husband Archie." No, "what a delicious meal it was. Your husband Archie," smiling in brackets, "is a lucky man."
Maybe that's why he's smiling in brackets.
"How do you do it? I must tell the Duchess she is beside herself moving left."
Well, the chick must have a split personality. No, but this guy Beals, who wrote it, I mean, where's his social conscience, man? And his standpoint in the cosmic dilemma, man?
Oh, I don't know, I'm sure. I think he lives somewhere in Hampstead.
Now, like, I mean, crazy, man. Gotta be way out, man. Now, don't I feel it, man? Like the whole world is coming apart at the seams and it's us against the machines, man. And all they can offer is the Hammersmith flyover and more plastic toast racks.
Oh, I love hearing you talk, Hector. You make it all sound so easy.
Can I have a glass of water?
Oh, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. I've often felt it but never been able to express it. Here, why don't you rewrite this commercial of Mr. Beale's? I'm sure he'd be ever so grateful.
Well, maybe I could at that, yeah. Make it real cool so the cats will dig it.
Yeah, and the dogs too. Then, you see, I can retype it and take it over to Allsop's Foods.
Well, it wouldn't need much alteration, man. I think we ought to open up in a condemned bedsit in King's Cross and then there's this starving beatnik, like, with a monkey on his back.
Oh, no, it's got to be a Welsh rarebit.
Oh, sure.
And put in the bit about the plastic toast rack. I like that.
Hello, TV commercials. Maggie Tufnell speaking.
This is Mr. Wimble of Allsop's Instant Food.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Wimble.
Good morning. About that script you sent for our Welsh rarebit.
Oh, did he like it? Do you like it?
Well, I thought it most, what is the word?
Good. Mr. Beals will be pleased.
Yes, do tell, Mr.
Well, then we'll carry on shooting the film, shall we, Mr. Wimble?
No, Mr. Beals. Tell him I like the contemporary theme. It's a very good idea to use to...
Members of high society, yes, it's...
Starving beatniks, so you can go ahead and shoot it.
What did you say?
When? Let me think. You can carry on shooting the film.
Yes, I'll start casting right away.
You will try and find a realistic condemned bedsit in King's Cross, won't you?
Why should I? I already have an extremely comfortable flat.
Tell Mr. Beals I said so.
It's got nothing to do with him. No, I'll let you know as soon as I've made the film, Mr. Wimble.
Splendid, splendid. Well, goodbye, Miss... I had it a minute ago.
Goodbye. What's he talking about? Beatniks? Condemned bedsits in King's Cross? He can't have read the script properly.
Quiet in the studio, please. Want to rehearse the Welsh rabbit commercial. Quiet, please.
I say, Maggie, don't you think it's about time we shot this film? We've already had 12 final rehearsals.
It's important we get everything right. Now, what's happened to that actress?
They're wedging a doorstop into her tiara. During the last run-through, it fell in the soup.
Come along, let's get to work. Mr. Dalrymple, Miss Letchworth, would you come over here, please?
Miss Tufnell. I think I now have the role committed to memory.
Good. And I'd be obliged if you wouldn't fill in the bits you don't know with rhubarb and my lord shall we to Pumfret Castle.
So sorry, laddie. It's all those years at the old Vic, you know.
Miss Letchworth, if you please. Places, please, and this time do try to remember your lines.
Do we have to start now?
Well,
I'm not used to working in a wet tiara.
I'm sorry, but we must begin. Quiet, please. Charlie, give us the background music. Now, Mr. Dalrymple, you enter right.
Yes. Ah, Lady Zelda!
No, Mr. Dalrymple, through the door, not the fireplace.
So sorry, laddie. Haven't done a commercial since last Christmas. So I'll start again. Ah, Lady Zelda, what a magnificent dinner. How do you do it?
Well, Lord Sloan, I owe it all to Allsop's instant Welsh rarebit. No busy housewife nowadays likes to be without one.
Lady Zelda, in all my years as a peer, I've never tasted anything like it. Agnes, your husband is a fortunate man.
Her husband's name is Archie, not Agnes.
Sorry. My wife's name is Agnes. I always get mixed up. But how did you find out about it? Do tell me.
But her husband called Agnes. I'd be very quiet about the whole thing.
Well, Lord Sloan, it was a day in spring. Archie and I parked the rooms and picked primroses. And he gave me an instant woman, and since then I've been a different Welsh rabbit.
Ah, Lady Zelda, I must try it on the Duchess. She could do with a change of diet.
Can't stop the music. We'll keep on trying until we get it right.
Morning, Jan. Anything to go down to the typing pool?
Oh, yes. Would you get them to run off 5 copies of this report? Mavis, what have you done to your hair?
Oh, it's a new style called the Beatnik Bang. Do you like it?
And what's that hanging from your left ear? It looks like a small cowbell.
It is. It was a present from Hector. He says my left ear is the focal point of my whole personality. He's funny for ears.
Well, Mavis, what have you done with your gypsy dangles?
Oh, they're ever so square still.
Mind you, this cowbell is half heavy, and I had to take its clapper out because every time I moved, I thought I heard the phone ringing.
Darling, I hope it's worth it. I'm all for offbeat clothes, but I draw the line at agricultural jewellery.
Oh, he's smashing, Jan. He's quite different from my friend Ted at the gasworks, what I was going steady with.
Before fate took a hand and shaped my end.
Mavis, I knew you looked different. You must go on a diet immediately.
And you know, when Hector talks to me, he really says things. He uses words that mean things. And as for that beard of his, do you know, last night we was dancing cheek to cheek, and I got a lovely polish on my cowbell.
Morning, Janet. Morning, Mavis. Mavis, what have you got on? Looks like a hand-woven mosquito net.
Well, actually, it's a dress made out of a table runner crocheted by my gran. I think it's real cool.
Must be.
I hope you're wearing plenty underneath. Yes, I can see you are.
Well, Hector says we all ought to wear clothes with which we can identify ourselves with.
And why, may I ask, should you identify yourself with a table runner crocheted by your gran?
Well, it's part of the integrated whole of my life pattern.
Well, I can see your life pattern through the integrated whole. But what about the bobbles on the bottom? What do they signify?
They are there because my gran said if I cut them off, she'd give me a faultney one with her ear trumpet.
Well, personally, I think they're fab. They go with those red stockings you're wearing.
Oh, I must go and change one of them. Supposed to be green.
Well, really, at least before she met Hector, you didn't expect her to say anything intelligent. Now she sounds like a raving lunatic.
You are mean. She's broadening her intellect.
Amongst other things.
Janet, to arrive at the office wearing a table runner is not a sign of a broad intellect.
Michael, the most ghastly thing has happened.
Mavis has changed into a doily?
No, the film, the commercial we made yesterday, it's all wrong.
But you said the final take was perfect, better than Dolce Vita.
Well,
I've just had a letter from Mr. Wimble of Allsop's Instant Foods, returning the script we sent him, and it's completely different.
You mean he's rewritten it?
Well, he hasn't, but somebody has. Listen to this. The scene is a condemned bedsit in King's Cross.
King's Cross? But what about the chandeliers, the gilt candlesticks and the velvet drapes?
Well, it says here, there is a naked light bulb and a piece of dirty sacking over the door.
A naked light bulb? The sense will never pass that.
I don't see Lady Zelda draping the place in dirty sacking. At least she'd have it dry cleaned first.
Well, Lady Zelda isn't there. Instead, there's a starving beatnik called Ag.
Ag? Is that a man or a woman?
I have no idea. Judging by the dialogue, I presume it's short for agony.
Well, boys, I've just been off the lab and they'll have a rough cut of the film ready tomorrow.
Tell them not to bother.
What do you mean? Mr. Wimble's coming over specially to see it.
Well, stop him. We've shot the wrong film. This is a script he approved. Take a look at it.
What?
Take a look at it.
But this is all quite different. On the squalid table, there's a broken plastic toast rack. But how the... I mean, why? What for?
Perhaps they're eating broken plastic toast.
Now, Maggie, just look at that dialogue.
Darling, it's quite obvious what happened.
What?
Someone has rewritten the script.
Oh, brilliant.
But who, when, how and why?
Hey, wait a minute. I remember Mr. Wimble saying something about starving beatniks and condemned bedsits, so the script must have been changed before he got it. It could only be one person.
Mavis,
but whatever made her do such a thing?
Hector made her alter the script.
What are we going to do? With Mr. Wimble coming tomorrow, we'll just have to remake the film with this beatnik script.
But they've been shooting it this afternoon. How am I going to cast it?
And what about the sets? How do you convert a Mayfair dining room into a condemned bed set?
Oh, that's easy. Let Janet throw a party in it.
Darling, I couldn't throw a party in a film studio. There's too many lights.
Wait a minute. I think I'm about to have a brilliant idea. Yeah. It's quite easy.
Not for you, it isn't.
No, you can all relax. Now, I've got it. Now, listen, everyone. This is what we're going to do.
Miss Tufnell, I've been looking all over the studio for you. Your mates have gone raving mad. They're distracting everything.
No, not to worry, Charlie. We're reshooting the Welsh Rabbit commercial, just making one or two minor alterations. I say, Adrian, that's no good. Sorted bedsits in King's Cross don't have chandeliers.
I'm sorry, I've led a very sheltered life. You up there? Can we lose the chandelier?
Lose the chandelier! Right!
Really, they never make things to last nowadays.
Michael, where shall we put this notice saying this property is condemned?
Oh, I'll take it.
Yes, do.
Thanks, darling. You'd hardly pass a surveyor's report yourself. Now, we must get started. Michael, ride up the cart.
Right, Maggie. Mavis, Hector, you're wanted.
Coming, Mr. Lightfoot. I was just rehearsing the lines I have to speak so that when I say them, I'll know who's talking.
Mavis, that get-up looks wonderful. Just the thing for a starving beatnik.
What get-up? This is what I come in.
Oh, here's Hector. Well, Hector, how are you?
Well, like I'm suffering, man, suffering.
Well, it's hurt to see.
Mavis, you're sitting at the table moaning in a low voice. Where's Hector supposed to be?
He's sitting underneath the table.
Oh, yes. Now, let's try and get a bit of atmosphere. Charlie, give us background music, please.
Right here, Miss Tufnell.
Well, go on, Hector, begin.
I can't start till I feel it, man. I gotta feel it deep down.
We should have sat him on the gas ring.
I'm getting it now, man. well, Ag, man, sure would have been a real cool meal we'd just eaten if we'd have had Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit, but we didn't, man.
Ah, Hunk, like I sent your mother, the Honourable Lady Zelda, out shopping since 2 days back. To date, man. She has not yet so far returned at present, man.
Well, Agman, what's keeping her? Like, if we only had some Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit, it would be Cloudsville for two, baby, and we'd be flying high.
This sounds more like a commercial for BES.
Ah, Hunk, honey, dig man. Do you recall that we
wet day in autumn, ma'am, we parked the tandem and picked up old cigarette butts. You gave me a packet of Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit. I dug you then, Hunk, and I've been digging ever since.
If you ask me, it's all about people escaping from a prisoners of war camp.
Ringing?
No, she doesn't. Janet, ring the phone bell.
Oh, sorry. I was carried away by the beauty of it all.
Like hello? Like you don't say, like goodbye? Well, Ag, that was some square called Lord Sloan.
Doesn't he mean some lord called Sloan Square?
Dig this. My mother, Lady Zelda, has been arrested for shoplifting like I'm a free man, man.
Hunk. Goodness, and we owe it all to Allsop's instant Welsh rabbit.
Cut! Well, it wasn't perfect, but it'll have to do. Stand by to shoot, everyone. Mavis, dear, do try and make it a bit more realistic this time.
Oh, I'll try, Miss Tufnell.
Yes, lines like those need to be delivered in tones of ringing sincerity.
Oh, well, can you wait a minute?
What for?
Well, if that's how you want it done, I'll put the clapper back into me cowbell.
I must say, Adrian, I thought the film was rather dreadful when we made it, but now that I've seen it, I realise I was wrong. It's absolutely frightful.
I thought it was all rather fab, and Hector was a dream.
Not in that last close-up. With that beard, he looked like a frightened owl peeping over an ivy bush.
So look out, look out. Here comes Maggie with Mr. Wimble.
Yes, now that I've seen the film, Miss Tufnell, I think it's rather...
Good, Mr. Wimble?
Not exactly. It's rather bad. Of course, the script was...
Awful, Mr. Wimble?
Well, no. I thought your handiwork was splendid, but the acting seemed a little...
Unconvincing, Mr. Wimble?
Well, I'd have said it was too convincing. But I had a rather clever idea while watching it.
To leave the theatre?
No, those two offstage characters, Lord Sloane and Lady Zelda, there lies your story. Why not make a film about them?
Well, that's a very good question, Mr. Wimble.
Isn't it, though? Yes. Well, so I'll be off now, and then I'll leave you to think it over. Now just rough out a script and send it over to my office. Goodbye, Miss...
This time we'll send round the original script with an armed guard.
Yes, with orders to shoot Hector the moment he sees the whites of his eyes.
Hector's eyes don't have any whites.
Morning, all. Did Mr. Wimble like the film?
Mavis, you look respectable again. You've gone back to your gypsy dangle.
And taken off the table runner. What happened?
Well, we had people coming to supper. Besides, it wasn't really me, all that cool digging like crazy. I've gone right off it.
Well, I hope that means you've gone off Hector as well.
Yes, ever since last night. You see, he was cutting a hole in the ceiling so that he could stand on top of the wardrobe to play his double bass.
But why?
Well, he said he wanted to be nearer the cosmic galaxies. I suppose they live upstairs. Well, you see, he has this blow lamp, you see, then all of a sudden he comes down the ladder and puts his head in a bucket of water.
For what possible reason?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think because his beard was alight. Well, he put it out and then shaved it off. And guess what was underneath?
His face?
Yes, all of it. And you know, without his beard, he looked just like my old boyfriend Ted from the gasworks. Except Ted's nicer, and I can understand what he's talking about.
Yes, well, he doesn't read all those highbrow books. He just reads meters.
Well, whatever it is, I'm going back to him. Anybody like to buy a pair of green stockings and a cowbell with an offbeat clap, huh?
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Hector Whittle and several other unlikely characters were played by Warren Mitchell. The script of this rather offbeat show was dug up by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe. I don't know who dug up our producer, Eric Miller, probably a short-sighted Welsh rabbit.